Galatians. For the last 4 or 5 weeks, if I was a Picasso, a Rembrandt, and was to try to paint a picture, imagination run wild this morning, I wanted to paint you a picture of what a Christian looks like. We would have very many different opinions this morning. Many of you would say, well, it's someone in a suit and tie that carries a Bible and goes to church on Sunday morning. Others might would say, well, reality is it's my grandma who knelt and prayed and they're the reason I got saved, or my mom and dad. That's what a Christian would look like if you could paint that picture. Some might say, well, it's the child or the Sunday school teacher or the preacher. What I want to do is tell you that what I've been telling you for the last 5 weeks is the picture, and I don't know any way to paint the fruit of the Spirit as to what a Christian looks other than to tell you verbally. Because I can't paint love except to say it's something we're supposed to do as a Christian. I can't paint to you joy except it's something that you're supposed to have when you're going through the trials of life, and no matter what happens, that's what a Christian looks like. You're still joyous when all's not well. I can't paint to you peace that gives you peace when all hell has broke loose on you from Satan and it's there, and yet in the middle of the hurricane, that peace is what a Christian looks like. I can't paint to you what long-suffering is. What it is, though, is when we want to bite someone's head off, when we want to kick someone when they're down, when we want to make fun of that person that's not what we think they're supposed to be. Long-suffering is the picture that I would paint of the Christian that bites their tongue instead of lashing out and saying, what in the world's wrong with you? That's the picture that we would paint. And this morning, the next part of that picture is one that is called kindness. Kindness. Galatians 5 and verse 22 gives us 8 or 9 different aspects. It says, but the fruit, singular. We want to make that a point every week, because you're not allowed to pick and choose and say, well, I wasn't given that. Yes, as a child of God, you was given one fruit that has all these different characteristics: love, joy, peace, long-suffering or forbearance, and this morning, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Kindness. I don't know about you, but it's been my experience through life, some of the most unhappy, some of the grouchiest, overbearing, fun police people that I know say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. The main problem, though, with understanding that is they don't look what I think the picture that the Bible paints of what a Christian is supposed to look like, and their behavior does not live up to what their beliefs are that a Christian is. Because God says we're supposed to be loving, joyous, peaceful, forbearing, long-suffering, kind, good, and faithful people. And yet, we all would agree, I know Miss Grouchy or Mr. Grouchy, and I never did see any kindness in their life. Kindness, nice when you talk about it. The problem with understanding what God meant by kindness is that the fact is it's kind of like kindness is one of those words in the English language and also one of those words in the Greek language that it has overlapping or many different meanings or many different words, and many times it's not clearly distinguishable between what kindness, nice, gentleness, goodness, mercy, favor, grace, compassion, tenderness. All of those are words that in the English and in the Greek can mean kindness. Kindness. And it's the exact same with our English language as it is in the Greek and in the Hebrew. In the Greek alone, it has 12 different words that can, just like in English, that can mean kindness in a broad range. With mercy and grace, it's kind of a whole lot narrower and it's easier to define, you know. Mercy and grace. We understand mercy is God doesn't give us what we deserve, and grace is He gives us what we don't deserve. With kindness, it's all over the spectrum. Spurgeon said of kindness, it's the best thing that could be written on a tombstone. Kindness about someone. And those who love you and were helped by you will remember you when the forget-me-nots have withered. But carve your name on hearts and not marble with kindness. Kindness. Someone once said, it is nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. My grandma used to say to us as kids, and thank God for grandmas, but my grandma used to say that if you don't have anything nice to say about somebody, then don't say anything at all. And my grandfather's response used to be, and I can remember, he would say, "But I'm just being myself." And he said, "Well," and she would say to that response, "Then be someone nicer." I love what George Washington said in a quote. He said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong." Because someday in your life you will have been all of these. Ladies and gentlemen, kindness, if given, is always returned. It's always returned to us. Just like love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness is also an attribute of God, that God showed kindness to us. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, we see something there that sometimes we really don't see. It says, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. And it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness. In His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We want to focus, though, on the next two verses that usually come about. And it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we focus on those two verses, 8 and 9, when in fact, it's the kindness of God that He exhibited grace. It's His kindness. It's because He, through kindness, you see, here again, He's extended mercy to us. You've seen it in verse 4. He's something that we don't deserve, and He made us alive, though, through grace. And it was expressed, though, through His kindness. We always focus on the grace and the not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet, if we read it, we see the kindness of God. The kindness of God, His gentleness, His being nice of God, being the conduit through which mercy and grace flowed. It's through the kindness of God that mercy and grace flowed. Think about that a minute. Kindness is a language. Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear. Kindness is a language that the blind can see. Kindness is a language that the dumb can speak. And kindness is a language that the deaf can understand and hear. It's kindness. It's the heartfelt. It's the hard-hearted, though, that receive it. And it's also the unbelieving that believe it because of kindness. Kindness. The manifestation of God's kindness comes to us toward man in His grace. If God hadn't been kind, there would have been no grace. If God hadn't have been tender and loving, there would be no grace. His remedy for our sins, grace, God's remedy, I use that acronym, God's remedy at Christ's expense. Wow. Somebody didn't turn their phone off. Fred, you're not the only one, see? I give him a hard time about it this morning, about his phone, and asked him if Brenda put knots on his head. He said, no, I don't have no knots on my head. So now I'll have to live with that for the rest of my life. I guess. Wow. You be kind whenever it comes to that, as I give you a hard time in the future. Kindness is a language. Kindness is how God manifests to us His grace. It's kindness. Psalms 145, verse 9 in the NIV says, "The Lord is good and or kind to all." He's kind to all. He has compassion on all that He has made. When you look at that and you take it at first glance and you think about that, you say, well, I don't know about that. You know, sometimes we become angry. We get angry or bitter towards God over instances or circumstances of life. When divorce happens or when someone's in trouble or when we have a disease or we have this problem, we have issues of life, things that creep into our life where sin comes and the devil launches an attack on us, we become angry and we become bitter. We become, you know, we experience loss. It's like, God, why did you allow that to happen now? Or we have this heartbreak or this loneliness. Please remember, God's kindness is still there in times that we don't think that we're experiencing it, because it's the kindness of God that delivers us through disease. It's the kindness of God that delivers us through the affliction that comes to our bodies and the times that we have. It's the kindness of God that delivers us through fear and through trouble. God's kindness provides us comfort in our loss and in our deep and darkest moments. God's still kind because His grace is sufficient, even when your phone rings and it's not supposed to. Kindness. You see, folks, what we need to realize when all that's coming unleashed and all that's happening and we want to blame God and get mad and be bitter, what we need to realize is we can't blame God for things that the enemy does in our life. We're only allowing it to happen because it's during those times that God develops us and God defines us. And if we allow it to define who we are and we become someone that's totally bitter and angry at God, then there is no place to develop God can't make us stronger and show His grace through us to the world around us. And we also can't blame God for the things we get ourselves into and the things that the enemy slings our way. We have to remember that God's still kind and He's still in control and He's still taking over in our life. Titus 3 says, at one time we too were foolish. We were disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. It's us, not God. We get ourselves into some of these mess, and we lived in malice and envy and being and hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, what happened next? He saved us. He saved us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He didn't put on us what we deserved. He did not give us what we deserved. But through His mercy, He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. God's kindness is what delivers us when we get ourselves off into these crazy things and to when the enemy unleashes on us. It's the kindness of God. We're so quick to blame God. We're so quick to get off on God. And yet we have to realize the Bible also teaches us that the divine kindness that God shows to us in all of our trouble, in all of our disease, in all of our sickness, in all of our addictions, in everything that we do, that we get ourselves into and let the enemy deceive us. That same kindness, that divine kindness, is what we as Christians are supposed to reflect in our own lives to others around us. That kind of kindness. We think it's great to be on the receiving end, and yet we are to express kindness to others. Not just in words, but also in deeds. This kindness, though, does not come naturally. Many of us know that Romans 3:12 is still there where it states there is none good. It's hard. It's hard. It's not natural. It's a hard thing to do. And yet, if you look at Colossians 3:12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, who's that? That's us. That's Christians. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You want to know what reality Christianity looks like? It's not that picture of a painted suit with a big Bible that marches off to church on Sunday morning. It's not the one with a list. It's grouchier than the green Oscar in the trash can. It's not anything that we paint. It's found in those verses. It's found in being kind and loving and expressing the attributes that God expresses toward us that we express toward others. That's reality Christianity. And yet the world paints reality Christianity as something, and even the church and the Christian paints it as something that the Holy Spirit says the fruit of the Spirit in you has a whole different picture than what most of us would paint of what a Christian looks like. So much of our kindness and our compassion and our concern is often swallowed up in selfishness. Is often swallowed up in we have this selfish ambition that says, All is about me. Everything at church is about me. Everything in life is about me. Everything at my home is about me. Everything at my job is about me. It's this selfish ambition that our kindness gets sucked in like a vacuum, like pulling dust through a sweeper. We forget about what we're supposed to look like because we get involved in life is all about me. And if it's not sucked in by that, it's some vain conceit that I am always right. I'm right. I've got it all together. I know what's best. When kindness should be expressed. One of the hardest things for me to learn is that I don't have to be right all the time. I don't have to be right all the time. And one of the things that in the last 3 or 4 years, I've also learned I don't have to do it all. We talk about the success of camp and the success of Bible school and the success of a building. What I learned is if you surround yourself with good people, and you treat them right, they can do it without your help. And they can do it different from the way you would do it. And they can do it probably better than you can do it too. Because God gives people to do things the way that they are made in His image. And one thing that I've learned, if you try to do a selfish, ambitious thing that it's all about me and it's all about me being right all the time, what you do is you shrink the size of your ministry and the size of your world to as big as you are. And you'll find out you're pretty small when it comes to who God is and how big God can make something if you'll turn loose. We struggle with being kind because it is more important to be right. I don't think that's reality Christianity and what God meant. We struggle with kindness because it is more important to win. To win! I've got to win! I listened to Andy Stanley a few weeks ago. I listen to him almost weekly. As in a championship baseball game, and his son stepped up to the plate, had a man on second and third, and all his boy had to do was get a hit, and they would have won. He said, "My son stood to the plate and swoosh, missed the first pitch. The second pitch came, a called strike." He said, "And I called timeout, rushed from third base where I was coaching third base." He said, "And I pulled him about halfway down." And he said, "Everybody that was there, half of Atlanta, it felt like, thought I was chewing on his ear, telling him, say, swing level, hit the ball, we're going to win." He said, "And I put my mouth about that far from his ear. And he said, 'Son, if you strike out, I still love you. And we're going to go get an ice cream cone when this is all over.'" We think we got to win. We think we got to be right. We think we always have to be the one. And yet God said kindness. We instill in our kids that winning is more important than being a good sport. Kindness. Reality Christianity needs to look more like God and less like what the world portrays it to be. There was a professor, and I'm not sure what the class, but he presented a syllabus. And he stated there would only be two grades in the entire class. The first would be giving a 20% of your total, 20% would be on your attendance. And then there would be four questions at the end of the class, and they would each make up the other 20% of your grade. Come down to the final. As he had stated, there was four questions. And one of the final questions was, what is the lady janitor's name that cleans this building? And someone, after getting their test and seeing the test, said, you've got to be kidding, right? You've got to be kidding. The last question, 20% of our grade, really is not going to count about what this janitor's name is it? To which he responded, absolutely. Absolutely. And then he made this statement. In your career, you will meet many people. All are significant. Everyone deserves your attention and kindness and care, even if it is just a smile or to say hello, is very important. Never forgot the lesson. Her name was Dorothy. You see, being considerate of others and being kind in life, whether you believe it or not, will take you farther than your college degree. It'll take you farther than your knowledge, because people want to know that you care before they even give a hoot about how much you know. Kindness. Michael and I went to the hospital a week or so ago. Helen had asked us to go visit someone very sick, cancer. The young man was in his 40s. And as we stood there, he was eating lunch, and I told him, I said, go ahead and eat and we'll come back. And he said, no, don't. It's not that good anyhow. Long story short, before we left there that afternoon, he had trusted Christ as his Savior. And the impression, and I told you part of the story before, I think was in the fact that we had enough sense to be kind. Had enough sense. Sometimes we can think way more of ourselves than what we should. And I've seen people barge into a room and say, I'm pastor, and I'm here, and I've got the gospel, and you need to listen. You don't have much longer. I don't think that gets the job done. Kindness. Real caring. And we have this philosophy. Well, I care if I'm involved. I care if I give. Let me tell you something. Kindness doesn't have a tax-deductible label attached to it. It doesn't have its own pulpit. It doesn't have its own title. It's everywhere we go, every step we take, everyone we meet, everyone we come in contact with. Be nice to everybody because you don't know who's having a bad day. Be nice. And you all leave impressions of kindness, whether you know it or not. And then I have a place that we eat often. And we always go and ask for the same waitress. To be honest with you, she's kind of like Alston's ice cream. She's the best waitress I've ever had anywhere. And the last few times we've been there, a member of our church worked there with her. And every time we go, she asked, "How's so-and-so?" She knows she had a new boyfriend. She knows all there is to know. Because that young lady left an impression on that lady and she follows her on Facebook because of kindness. Kindness. Are you leaving an impression on people with your kindness? Is it the conduit by which grace and mercy can flow to you, to other people? Is it the way that you're going to reach someone is with kindness? Because everybody you come eyeball to eyeball with is an individual that Christ died for. And you may be the only one that has the opportunity to witness to that person. And if you're not kind, then you will not get that opportunity. And even if you take it by barging in and saying, "Stub your lunch aside, it's time for us to talk," they won't hear a word you got to say. Kindness. Kindness. Brother Dave used to say, that waitress that you're about to unleash on didn't cook your food. They didn't clean your table. They didn't prepare it. So be nice to them. And it doesn't cost any more to be nice. And they may even have a prayer request that you want to take before you leave and have prayer with them. Kindness. You see, we have all kinds of opportunities to be kind, and yet how many times do we not take advantage? Let's stand.